What in the world is that?
Sorry, Eric, you gotta speak up. Can't hear you.
What is that, Peter? Jesus.
It's my space toilet. I installed an ISS official space toilet in the stall. It's $23 million.
And where is it going?
It's going to get shot into space, I guess. That's how the astronauts do it. So my crap will be floating in the atmosphere. Welcome to the Flush Podcast, where we try to solve the mysteries of life from the bathroom. I'm Peter Bean.
And I'm Eric Law.
And we're in space. Well, Eric, I wanted to talk about something near and dear to my heart, which is outer space. This is a little old, but on October 9th, NASA sent a $23 million space toilet to the ISS, to the International Space Station.
Oh, wow.
$23 million. And I didn't know. I kind of looked into what astronauts do to use the bathroom. I think everybody has a rough idea of how it works, right?
Yeah, I'm sure it gets flushed into the vacuum of space and then, you know.
Well, yeah, but
I guess it freezes and it becomes like, you know, it's funny, like if you, like the station, I don't know if you've, if research or something, somebody can prove this or not prove it, but just what happens to the waste when the astronauts take a shit? The shit goes into space and then I'm sure like it freezes, it becomes like debris or rock, and we are bombarded every single day by space debris. So what if you're in your, you know, like a cubicle at work or something, and something bursts through the roof and lands on your desk, and these space poop from some astronaut in the space station or something. Can that happen?
No.
It would just get disintegrated.
It will disintegrate in the atmosphere. But I was shocked.
So smart,
I was shocked. Well, I didn't know much about it, but the biggest kind of like shocker to me is that when it is full, they eject it into space towards Earth, so it burns up in the atmosphere. You know, so like...
Oh, they actually do that.
They actually do that. And so imagine Eric, little Eric, wishing upon a shooting star.
Oh, look, Dad. Oh, I look at that shooting star. I wish. Peace on Earth.
I'm wishing on a piece of shit.
Yeah, piece of shit.
Burning in the atmosphere.
Before I get into how the toilet works, there is some history with space exploration and the need to go to the bathroom toilets. During the Apollo missions, astronauts apparently had these condom-like sleeves that they would use to urinate in. And they would also, so for number one, of course you do that. For number two, they would actually have to tape a bag to their butts to collect the the little asteroids. What
was that lady that drove for 15 hours to from Texas to Florida, I think it was, and she was an astronaut, I think, or something, and she was wearing a space diaper. Did you read it? That was a long time ago, actually.
Driving.
What is that lady's name?
Oh, well, that gets into some sort of, that's, I don't know if we should.
She was going to kill somebody.
An astronaut drove 900 miles to attack her ex's girlfriend. And to avoid bathroom breaks, she wore a space diaper.
I bet you're looking through Amazon right now. And to see if you can buy a space diaper.
Well, no. But that is what moonwalkers, like moonwalking astronauts, did have to wear diapers because they had no time to, you know, do the the time, which they had this the urine condom sleeve thing or the taping it to their butts. But so moonwalkers had to wear diapers. But an interesting thing, in Apollo 10 mission, the astronaut Tom Stafford, he alerted his crewmates to, quote, "Get me a napkin quick. There's a turd floating through the air." So things get messy up there.
Yeah.
And Yeah, that's I'm assuming the filtration systems will pick up any debris, because when you do number two,
it depends on the size, though, right?
Yeah. So, but when you do a number two or even number one, like particles, and when you're in zero gravity, I mean, there's particles now floating everywhere.
My question is, don't they drink their own pee, or
they the toilet that was sent up? NASA is experimenting with reusing urine for water. So recycling.
And if you take urine. A shit, you can eat meatloaf at night.
No, but they are experimenting with poop as well, like how they can reuse that, because going on
moon. Fuck you.
Well, no, not for eating, but for building
planting potatoes,
building materials or fertilizer, as in in The Martian when Matt Damon grew those potatoes. Yeah. So they're experimenting with that, like how they can reuse, because in long space flights, water is such an essential thing. Yeah. And we just, you know, flush it away. And honestly, dude, the stuff that we flush down the toilet, like I often think there's better use for it. Like there's way it should honestly go, like number two should go somewhere towards fertilizer or something, you know?
I always wonder, like, in movies like The Midnight Sky, when they're going, or even The Martian, when they were going to Mars, and it was taking them 9 months, I think, mm-hmm. back and forth. Where do they get all the water? And where was it? Oh, yeah. It was a new series on Netflix called Away, which was all right. But they ran out of water. So in order for the radiation not to penetrate or something, and I don't know if this is true, the walls are filled with water. Oh. So I think that's what it was, because they were trying to get the water from inside the walls so they have drinking water, because they ran out of water in such a long, like, where do they get the water from? Like in space station, science is interesting, because if you pee a pint, do you get a cup of water?
Okay, so looks like they're looking to reclaim about 90% of the urine. I guess 90% is probably the best you can do as far as the urine recyclability.
That is interesting.
Well, let me tell you, like, so how it works. I think everybody knows, like, basic suction is the key. So when you take a number one, there's like this hose with a funnel at the end, a cone at the end, and you stick it, you know, on yourself, and it sucks up the water.
That's just that's males.
So let me, this is kind of what the new toilet is going to address. But so women would on the toilet, they would sit in this. Well, if you're taking number two, or if you're a woman, of course, you would sit on this. It's this little. It's no bigger than like a donut. It's like a little circle, and you sit on it, and it suctions. It suctions all your, you know, stuff.
Because we need gravity to poop, right? Is that what the thing is?
Yes, correct. What this new toilet would do is it will accommodate women as well. That's one thing old toilets didn't do. So this new toilet that came up in October of last year, 2020, it is designed to be accommodating to women, because much of the International Space Station crew is women as well. So, and what it also does is, and here's a big one, Erica, because I know you're into this, dual ops. So you can both defecate and urinate at the same time. Before, in previous space station toilets, you could not do that.
Wow. That's a convenient.
So, yeah, so that's the new, so the new ability with this new $23 million toilet, it's also automatic. So you don't have to like flip things on, apparently. And so with this, it's experimenting with recycling. And they hope that in, you know, this is a toilet for NASA's deep space missions. Yeah. It's a brave new world, Eric. Brave new world.
Have you heard of that artificial gravity? You know, like you see it in movies all the time.
Yeah.
the space station rotates, creating a certain velocity. And that doesn't work, right?
No, that does work. Centrifugal force, is that what it's called? So when you...
It does work.
Yeah, when you spin two objects, the gravity will push outward. So you basically will have a floor.
I was reading about it.
In Midnight Sky and in other science fiction movies, you would use that artificial gravity where it would spin. There's actually a possible plan. It's not anything official or anything, but like there's a possibility that they can hitch two SpaceX ships together and have them spin and give artificial gravity. I saw that on YouTube where like that's something that could theoretically do. But we'll see. I mean, I'm a big Star Trek fan, so artificial gravity is kind of an important thing, not just to poop, but to do everything else. It's like we need gravity.
Our bodies need to digest down.
Yes.
So our bodies have evolved to use gravity in that sense.
Yeah. Well, so did you hear the Pentagon released UFO footage video of our jets trying to intercept these unidentified flying objects? So we're just going in like crazy speeds and turning all the things we know that we've seen in old videos. But the Pentagon declassified these things, and it's kind of a big deal because it's that the government.
I don't know for the rest of the world is a bigger deal. It's funny how here in the United States, you know, what's going on with the climate, being so separated and all these things has overshadowed this monumental thing that basically the Pentagon said that there are aliens, but we hardly heard about it because, you know, the things that are happening and, you know, the elections and all these things that are, it overshadowed like a bigger, news, you know, like, oh yeah, there might be something that we don't know what it is. And, you know, and space and aliens and all these things. And it just got overshadowed by just like hissy fits down here in the United States, you know, and well, the coronavirus as well, of course.
Yeah. Well, did you hear also, so this is lesser known, and I don't know how reliable this is, but several sites have reported that retired Israeli security officer has come forward and said that aliens have actually been in contact with us for quite some time. And that now here's where it gets a little iffy, is like they've been in contact with Israel and the US. I mean, it's a little weird that they've only been in contact with them, but essentially the premise is there is a galactic federation. And he goes on to say that humanity isn't ready, which I can agree.
That's true. Do you think that's true? Yeah. That you agree that humanity,
I agree that humanity isn't ready. do I agree that it's true or not? A part of me kind of wants it to be true because I would love to just, I don't want to wait for us to develop ships. I want to go, you know, I want to do the last starfighter and I want to go, you know, old movie, but worth a watch. The Last Starfighter. And he did, you know, so he just goes in the like he's recruited from a video game and he just goes. And that's what I want. So I want, it's, you could look at it two ways. It's either really cool because there's order in the chaos of the universe, or it's really shitty because we are not at the head of the table of this galactic federation.
Yeah.
I am a fan of just any organized thing in space is great. I'm sure the thing is, I'm sure a galactic federation is not about violence. It's not about resources. All big budget movies about aliens are all about our resources and stuff. But in the end, there are so much resources all over the place that aliens don't need to come to Earth. Like, all they got to do is go to our asteroid belt or something. There's plenty of resources out there. So
Yeah.
You know, despite what.
Well, what about water?
Water too. There's water. There's water ice everywhere. Everywhere.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the idea that they need Earth, they don't need Earth. So I think, no. I think a galactic federation is much more chill than we think. They're much more, let's solve big problems. My biggest question about space is, so we are, we're all about boundaries, right? I live in this bathroom stall, that's in a bathroom, mm-hmm. that's in a building that's been evacuated for a year now. What are we still doing here, Eric?
I don't know. I think there's still zombies outside.
But in this building, in this city, in this country, in this earth, in this solar system, in this universe. But so we're all about boundaries. But what is our universe in? What do you think?
Well, I guess the universe that I think of is it keeps expanding within our galaxy. The Milky Way, right?
Yeah.
Beyond it, there are certain probabilities or pictures or whatever, that there are other galaxies. And I don't think we can grasp the size and the time that we have, that we've been here, and how enormous, like if you're measuring things, so I have to measure this. Let me measure my phone.
Yeah.
I mean, how small are we, you know?
Yeah.
What? In a probability of like, I think our universe is enormous and infinite.
Yeah.
Probably.
Well, infinite, but it's like, what is infinity? Like what? If you said, okay, it's just our universe, or in my belief, there's multiple universes, not multiverse, like there's no other Peter out there in the same, you know, I don't believe in any of that stuff. I think there's multiple universes that are bumping us just like galaxies are. But then, so,
yeah.
But if that's the case still, what are they in? You know, like we're all about boundaries. What? It's the question to me. What is this? What are we all floating in? Like, I can't get my head around it.
I think, that's what it is. Is that the humans have evolved in this one certain particular environment, in this one planet that is in the Goldilocks. You know, like we're like one in a trillion chances of life being able to form in a planet. Yeah. So, and little by little, and just imagine 100 years in the past, we probably didn't know much about anything. Mm-hmm. You know, some people believe the moon was actually cheese or whatever the hell. So just 100 years, Earth is what, 4.7 billion years old or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. That's probably nothing in the span of like, just to think, oh, you know, like it's been 40 years since I've been alive. Oh, what a long time. That's absolutely nothing. And we're discovering little by little things here and there, you know, like the speed of light and, you know, the vacuum of space and the moon has to do with the tides and all that stuff. Like we're learning little things that are probably super basic, you know, like dark matter. What is it? We know something is there, but we don't know what it is. And the God particle and all these things, like little by little, just like baby steps that it's going to take us probably thousands of years to like get to understand if we make it that far, we wouldn't be able to even think of it.
Yeah,
you know, of like what the universe could be or what it could provide for us.
Yeah.
So our understanding is caged up in this one little society that is the planet Earth that we, you know, even the greatest minds couldn't probably think ahead of what we are trapped by our own society. We are trapped within our own understanding of the universe.
Yeah. The gray filter. Are you familiar with the idea of the gray filter? So if the universe is huge, why are we not hearing aliens? Like life is apparently not as
What is limited. That paradox?
The Fermi paradox. There's got to be X amount of alien societies. So at the very least, there are a certain amount. So like the question that about the gray filter is, so like, why are we not hearing societies, radio waves, or even seeing them? And one of the ways that they try to answer this is about the gray filter. So either the gray filter is in front of or behind us. So the filter itself, the basic idea is that the reason we aren't seeing a lot of alien races out there is because maybe life is really hard. Maybe life, basic life, is out there and it's easy, but maybe intelligent life isn't so easy. So it just happened that things worked out for humans, but it could have not worked out if like an asteroid didn't hit, dinosaurs would be dominating. We wouldn't be around. And so like a lot of evolutionary things had to go right. So like another filter is intelligence. So if you think the gray filter is in front of us, there's something that, like atomic bombs, you know, maybe we will destroy ourselves, or climate change, you know, something can potentially keep us from being heard. So maybe there's a planet out there thinking the same way as us. Where is everybody? Well, Earth is about to make itself known, but are we going to kill ourselves first? Or have we already passed that hump? Are we, you know, the time where we could have killed ourselves, like maybe the Cold War or something like that, but we didn't. And so we are a step closer.
Maybe we are an exception, you know?
One thing we are doing as a society, whether we like it or not, is we are slowly becoming a peaceful society, because just by default, so evolution favors certain traits. Well, our current society favors peace. So what does that mean? Like an Eric Claw, if Eric was a,
what's up?
You know, if Eric shot up a bank and got money, Eric's genetic code would not be allowed to continue. So Eric would have no opportunity to have kids. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I have money.
So like, you know, or take this. Eric's grandparents, you know, had your grandfather been a violent person, I don't think your grandmother would have gone with him, you know, that kind of thing. So like a slow.
Funny story is that my grandfather left Sicily for an unknown reason. Mm. Nobody knows why.
Interesting.
Funny story.
And here you are. Part of this Galactic Federation story is it's either Saturn's moon or Jupiter's moon. One of the moons is actually a alien base and not a moon. So they basically that they are observing us, and maybe there's a status we need to reach as a society. Do you know Carl Sagan? He used to do Cosmos, Cosmos TV show.
Yeah,
there's a great
life.
Yeah, but there's a great video that I always watch to inspire myself back to like us as a society, because he says that who are we to believe that we can go into space? Like, why would the galaxy benefit from humans being out there? And, you know, Sagan says that it won't be us that will get there to Alpha Centauri, because, you know, we can't get there yet. There'll be many generations before we can get there. So once we get there, we'll be a different species. Necessity will change us. Climate, you know, there's poverty, there's food shortage, there's climate change. Like we have to deal with that. So in dealing with these big issues, we'll have changed, you know, so eventually we will be a different humans, that will go into space.
Do you think we have the capacity to eradicate hunger and poverty?
I mean, we have to, like, you know, and whatever that looks like, it's not what we're doing right now. I mean, the fear that I have is that the people that are going into space right now, the billionaires, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, they have good intentions on the surface. I just, right now, they are the ones going to be exploring. And so capitalism isn't
it's
doing
to be a galactic thing.
Yeah, and I'm just capitalism. Worried. I'm just worried because, you know, these kind of systems don't work for the less fortunate, you know, and so billionaires representing us in space is a little scary to me.
I love that quote. I don't know who's it from, but it's like the society will gain from the shadows of the trees planted by our grandparents, mm-hmm. you know, like the grandparents knowing that this is going to help the society,
but not them
later right. on, but not them. Then that's those are the people that's why we're here, because of people that thought about this mm-hmm. later on before us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think we're lacking that, especially now.
Yeah. You know, people that say like we should fix Earth first, I do agree that like, yes, we should, but you've got to inspire too. Going to space inspires us all.
Just takes one person thriving on dividing a whole nation and
Carl Sagan talks about that as well. He looks back at, he says, we'll look back at our madhouse that once was Earth, where like how fragile we were. It's like mm-hmm, the madhouse mm-hmm. of everything that came after, how, you know, juvenile we were back then. The Galactic Federation, you know, Mars, Moon, you know, Elon Musk, nothing is going to happen until we get that proper space toilet going. I'm happy to know that NASA is on that, so that once that happens, it's creature comforts, Eric. Once that happens, the universe is ours, essentially.
You can't say that NASA is not taking a shit seriously.
Yeah, they are. Those are your tax dollars, Eric.
I'm glad to pay for somebody taking a shit.
Well, I'm happy to have boldly, you know, gone to this subject with you, Eric.
Me too, Peter. I'm glad that we talked about what makes us human, what makes us want to be better.
Right, because, you know, you
want to explore.
You may see a shooting star, and that shooting star may be an astronaut's turd. But that doesn't mean you can't wish on it. When you wish upon a turd.
Yeah.
For more mysteries of life through the lens of the bathroom, visit theflush.com or anywhere you get your podcasts.